Hello, and welcome to the Open Systems Media Panel Discussion, IoT Platforms Evolution. I'm Kurt Schwader, your moderator, with panelists Charlie Wu from Advantech and Johnny Chen from OnLogic, co-sponsored by Contron. Today's schedule consists of about 45 minutes of panel discussion, leaving 10 minutes at the end of the hour for audience Q&A. Before we begin, I'd like to run down some important features of your viewing console. First is the Enlarge Slides button. This button will maximize the slides to fill your entire screen. The Download Slides button allows you to download and print the slides if you'd like a hard copy to follow along with. The button labeled Forward to a Friend enables you to send an email to someone that will include a registration link to this webcast so they can also attend. The Ask a Question text box enables you to participate today. You can type your question into the box and submit it using the Submit button. You can submit questions at any time during the panel. We encourage you to do so early and often while you're listening to the panelists and the questions fresh in your mind. We'll address as many of these as we can during the closing Q&A. If you have a question pertaining to the webcast operation itself, you can submit those too, and one of our technicians will be happy to respond to you during the webcast. Let's introduce our accomplished panelists for today. Charlie Wu is an IoT product manager for Advantech, where his 19 years of experience has brought extensive industry experience with panel PCs, medical PCs, embedded computing boards, and IoT systems for a variety of markets and industries. Charlie is known for successfully managing and bringing to market complex leading-edge product concepts. He holds a Bachelor of Science degree in Electrical Engineering from California State University. Johnny Chen is a solutions architect at OnLogic. He brings almost 20 years of experience to the panel. Johnny focuses on identifying and implementing new technologies for the OnLogic industrial computer product line. He also manages OnLogic strategic partnerships and ecosystem in order to effectively address client technology challenges. Welcome, panelists, and let's get started with topic one. IoT platform state of the union. So, I mean, we've had a lot of IoT platform webcasts and panels over the years, starting with even back in the 5-8 years ago when these IoT platforms were just being formulated and conceptualized. Let's talk about, like, today. Where are we in the life cycle? Are we through the make it work first phase, or are there still things to do there? And what kind of features and capabilities are being commonly deployed now, and what add-ons might be in store for IoT platforms in the short and the long term? And if you have any questions about or comments on any key platform features or characteristics that you can point out that make a successful IoT system today. Let's start with Johnny. Johnny, what do you think?
Well, I think we talk about deployments. Where are we today? We're definitely, I would say, past the prototype stage. We are doing deployments, larger deployments. Is there more to do? Definitely. One of the key things is every deployment is kind of unique. But there are foundational pieces, like you had mentioned. You know, things like connectivity, device orchestration, reliability, and versatility. There really is no, I would say, a single hardware platform that works for everything. Definitely having that conversation with your hardware provider is one of the key things, and kind of understanding what the problem is before suggesting a solution. Now, we do quite a bit with x86. X86 typically gives you quite a bit of existing ecosystem to build on, and also gives you time to market. It allows you to prototype faster, design faster, and deploy faster.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about HA and reliability. Are IoT platforms and hardware assist for security and kind of encrypted communications and stuff? Is that becoming pretty commonplace in IoT platform development?
Well, I think right now it's basically become an absolute requirement.
Right.
Everything from using, you know, TPMs to for provisioning of systems to actually deployment of containers to make sure it is secure going into the, especially at the edge.
I see. And so in terms of these hardware platforms, I mean, you say, I think OnLogic does industrial kinds of things. Are these modular platforms? Or how do they scale from a point of view where you need some edge intelligence requirements, but maybe some more cost sensitivity there versus, you know, putting these things in industrial data centers?
Well, so one of the key things about edge and edge deployment and how we design is we definitely design everything to be modular in terms of hardware modularity. This allows the system to be easily adopted for different types of environments. So you can adapt the system, let's just say, in a rugged environment with specific I/O requirements. So we try to make everything as modular as possible using things like Modbay, but yet following industry standards, things like OPC UA, things like that, being able to interconnect into those interfaces. So we try to design everything as modular as possible. This way it could be reused, but at the same time, they're always customized for the specific customer need.
Okay, and you mentioned connectivity is an important part, too, in terms of the state of the union for IoT platforms. Do these hardware components, systems, appliances, do they come with a set of, you know, Ethernet, wired, wireless kinds of communications, or do you tend to kind of, buckle those on, you know, in separate devices?
Well, we try to do everything inside the box for reliability. But that said, this is where the modularity really matters. If you look at, say, connectivity 4G, 4G is not exactly suited for everyone or even 5G. It all depends on the application. So this is where the modules matter. Sometimes 4G is more than enough, or sometimes you can move down all the way to M1 or NB-IoT as the connectivity. Now, there are other connectivity we use quite a bit, things from like LoRa, Zigbee, to connect to the sensors, to connect to other things that, you know, don't require real-time feedback or control.
Okay. And in terms of, like, at the gateway, is it kind of assumed that, like, there will be some level of local area network, like Ethernet kind of wired connectivity, or are they still using Wi-Fi or other kinds of, maybe even Bluetooth or other kinds of wireless things from sensor to gateway?
So exactly, it depends on the application, and this is where the fragmentation happens. So we definitely use Ethernet quite a bit. Basically, our systems have at least two Ethernet ports, one for the local network and then one for the machine network. That works in the factory. Now, on a farm, for instance, you're not going to be really connecting everything by wires. You're going to be using some sort of wireless technology. Wi-Fi is a good example of one that you can connect to multiple sensors and multiple nodes. But you might want to use something that's a little more low energy, like LoRa. Mostly because some of these sensors, you might be just using it for a short amount of time. They're just bursting data maybe once or twice a day, you know, things like soil sensors, moisture sensors, or temperature sensors.
Okay. Well, let's bring Charlie into this for topic one. So in terms of the IoT platform state of the union, I mean, Johnny talked about connectivity, orchestration, HA reliability. So it sounds like we are kind of moving past the make it work first phase of this into putting more of the foundational components around productizing these kinds of IoT platforms. What's your take?
Well, I certainly agree with Johnny on the part that the foundation is there. I mean, as a matter of fact, throughout the time, more and more foundational, the newer technology is coming out to lay out the foundation because, for example, there's also some of the more popular communication protocols such as Wi-SUN or Sigfox that's not really popular in the States, but those are one of the options. And another one of the technologies that our company has the pleasure of working with is kind of a new technology, something called MIOTI. It's also a very robust LP1 type of communication technology that's currently being introduced to the market. But those are from the foundation standpoint. But at the same time, I still do feel that we are still kind of in the middle of making it work, but in the sense that things are piecing together more or less. Because the reason why we believe so is because the IoT applications still remain highly diversified, even within the same industry. Different market or different sector will have their different requirement, both in hardware and software. So it depending on their application, the type of data to be collected, and how it is to be utilizing within their respective specialized software tool, all those things are very different from one application to the other application, even within the same organization. I mean, Advantech has been on the forefront of the IoT and also the Industrial 4.0 implementation from the very beginning, and we have quite a bit of a different solution from the hardware standpoint, where we provide a bridge between IT and OT. So our hardware solution include, but obviously not limited to, the sensor nodes, different switches, gateways and servers with respective software tool to help monitor and control all hardwares within the network. But in comparison to the general configuration of the IoT system, that's just a very small piece of a puzzle. And from my perspective, the successful implementation of an IoT system will require multiple steps. Flexible and configurable proof of concept, in my opinion, will be the first step for successful implementation, which can be achieved by aggregating talents from both hardware and software partners to create a basic configuration. Then based on the results and lessons we learned from the proof of concept, customer can then move on to the next step, add additional customization to hardware and software, then introduce the integrators to help implement the updated version to the field for beta trial. If everything works good, then they can fine-tune the solution to make it a grander scale depending on what kind of IoT implementation that they want to do, and hopefully we'll be able to create a more successful implementation for the whole organization.
Okay, yeah, I mean, you made a lot of really good points there in terms of bridge between IT and OT. Some people even think that those things are melding, and that seems like a pretty good recipe that you laid out. Like, I guess you're talking about, you know, putting together a platform that allows you to be flexible, because no one, you never really know where you're going to head or end up on a first version kind of deployment. And then you mentioned aggregating and leveraging talents from hardware and software partners. So how much can customers leverage those kinds of partners? Are they willing to kind of look at the end-to-end IoT system, listen to the goals, and be able to help customize a hardware and software solution for that?
From what I can see as far as the overall capability of different companies right now, insofar, no one really has the ability to help a customer to do everything,
right,
from both from software and hardware together. So it's always piecing together of different talents. For example, it might be using some of our computer systems, some of our I/O communication hardwares, and then we'll have to work with the either channel partners or the system integrators that we know of that can introduce us to a different software vendor that has the capability of creating a software piece that utilizes our hardware that meets customers' needs. And that might be a software to help them communicate and implement the analytic capability in the cloud. It could be something that helps customer to create a piece of analytic software to do basic analyzation on the gateway, so data coming in can be integrated and also analyzed and simplified, so they don't have, you don't have to shoot everything to the cloud, stuff like that.
Okay, I see. So I guess from an Advantech State of the Union perspective, they've got people like you that have a little bit of experience with, like, everything and a lot of depth of experience in what the Advantech product line is. So you're kind of the gap filler for customers, where you can help them aggregate these partnerships and develop these and deploy these solutions. Is that where platform providers are headed?
Within Advantech, our product management team is actually a pretty large organization, and each manager manages different product lines. So I'm only managing some of the computer system hardware, sensor node, and also wireless solution are part of the product line that I'm handling, and there's also other product, including medical, industrial automation, so on and so forth. But the idea is to be able to pull together a solution by communicating with different departments, come up with the best solution from the hardware standpoint. Then we can talk to the sales, we can talk to the partner, and then put together a overall package and deliver to the customer.
Okay. I wanted to, before we go on to topic two, kind of throw it back to Johnny and then have Charlie follow up. Johnny, in your experience with these enterprise customers or industrial customers are, and the IT and OT requirements where they have to be working together, is in your experience, are you seeing a higher level of sophistication now and willingness to for the IT and OT to work together, or is it still are they still trying to figure out what this whole IoT platform solution is about?
Well, I think there's definitely a want to work together. I mean, at the end of the day, truthfully, no one cares what the hardware is or what the software is, but they care about the end result.
Right.
And that's what we're really focused on. A big part of my role and where OnLogic is headed is toward that solutions model, exactly what Charlie has mentioned. We have to move that way, and we have to create a pool of partners that you all work together for the same end, which is the end result. It doesn't matter if it's analytics, it doesn't matter if it's data grabbing, you know, and processing at the edge or in the cloud. At the end,
okay.
It's just the solution.
I see, okay. Charlie, do you see IT and OT job functions within your customers for IoT? Are they kind of raising their level of sophistication when it comes to, you know, these IoT platforms and how to use them and that kind of stuff? Are you still seeing them struggling?
Most of the customers that we have been dealing with actually do have a good idea on what they want to achieve. I mean,
okay.
They need to at very least set a goal on what they want to do so we can try to pull the talents together to help them. But after that, as Johnny said, the end result pretty much is what needs to be happening. Hardware-wise, Advantech makes a lot of hardware, and so are many of our competitors. Our solutions are somewhat similar in a sense. So how do we break out of the mode of just selling the hardware is to partner with the software solution, and also at the same time, creating our own software that help our customer to utilize our hardware easily so they don't have to try to figure out, okay, I still need to invest a lot of time to try to get these hardware to work. That's one of the advantages of Advantech is we do have quite a few different software tools to help our customer to utilize our hardware solutions. Then they can focus in more on creating a software that does what they want to do, both from data aggregation, from data analytic, and then cloud implementation as well.
Okay. Great. Yeah, that's a great transition too, as well, to our topic too. We did talk a little bit about you know, how many pieces, modularity, and the importance of ecosystems and partnerships so that you can bring together the right bunch of talent and capabilities and feature sets to be successful. So that's what our topic two focuses on, standards, interoperability, ecosystem. So do you see any standardizationing happening out there in these early phase initiatives that's going on? Are these platforms becoming interoperable? So at a hardware level, at a storage level, at a connectivity level, gateway and cloud environment. So are there standards and interoperability components coming into play yet? Or is it not possible or is it imminent? In terms of where we're moving, are we headed to a standardized environment? Or will this continue to be a fragmented spot with lots of different applications and lots of different solutions depending on what you're trying to do? I think that's kind of the concept, the last statement there, where you know maybe these applications are too diverse, so you really can't standardize around a certain API function, interface, or connectivity standard. Charlie, what are your thoughts?
Well, the standardization that I do see currently happening from the hardware standpoint is that most of a customer will need some type of intelligence to process the raw data before uploading the data to the public cloud if their application actually involves using public cloud. Cloud service is very convenient, but unfortunately they are not cheap, to say at least. Services like Microsoft Azure, like Amazon Web Services, they are charging the customer based on how much data they actually uploaded to the cloud. And let's say one example, one of the applications that I have worked with our customer before, we create a proof of concept. Unfortunately, within the proof of concept, it also uploaded the raw data over to Azure. And within a month, it accumulated easily close to $1,000 just on the raw data by mistake. So we plug that hole later, but you can see where that's going. So in this case, you do not want to upload unprocessed raw data over to the cloud. You want to have some kind of intelligence, and that's where gateways or small MCU sensor nodes are coming in handy. So in the scenario that we have is that either sensor node has the MCU by itself, so you can do some basic level data processing, or usually the more common implementation is based on the gateway, depending on how much analyzation, how much data process that you want to get done, then you can choose the performance level of the gateway that meets the need of your customer. Then based on the data that's been integrated, that's been analyzed, then you send the process data over to the cloud, so to save the cost, to say at least. Then at that point, you can have the cloud to do deeper analysis and then also the storage of the data.
Okay. So, yeah, can you give a little bit of information on these gateway components? What do they range? I mean, in terms of are these like maybe single-core, dual-core processors with no more than 8 gig of RAM and some storage, and do they scale up to terabytes of storage and, you know, 32 mega or gig of RAM and you know, quad-core processors? What is the spectrum at the gateway?
That truly depending on the performance level required by the customer. So, for example, if it's just simple taking in data and then like a small sensor data, say, for example, in agriculture application, in a windmill farm application, those data could be processed. If you're just talking about environmental simple data, you could be processed with just an atom level dual or quad core, but atom level nonetheless, those processes will be sufficient. But if we're talking about a lot of data, especially something involving artificial intelligence, you want to do some machine learning, some data processing, especially graphic data processing, then you will need something more powerful. Low power core I, either dual core or even desktop quad core, we have different solutions for different level of the performance that's needed.
Okay. And in terms of gateway to cloud kind of connectivity and message passing, are you seeing any standardization around that? Are AWS and Azure or maybe other data cloud providers, are they providing easy onboarding interfacing with any sort of IoT gateway, or does Advantech need to kind of jump in and engineer that some of that stuff for the customer?
Unfortunately, that's where we feel the market will still be very diverse. or be segmented. So generally speaking, data passed to the cloud, it could be directly from sensor to the cloud through public network, such as if you're using LoRa. I know Comcast has the LoRa network, and then there's also NB-IoT for small data. Those things could happen, but otherwise, if you're collecting data from either mesh network, from Bluetooth low energy or Wi-Fi, some of the more localized data collection method, then, or even like if you're dealing with legacy implementation, like the factory that I've already got a lot of sensors and data collection point, then you will need to have a gateway. So from the gateway to the, if you have a gateway that's fixed in place, it's a lot easier. You have a Ethernet wire communication that can go to the cloud. But otherwise, Wi-Fi communicating to a different gateway and then connected to the cloud will be probably the most common path that we have seen so far.
Okay. So, yeah, it sounded from Charlie's perspective like there is and will continue to be some fragmentation. There might be some spot standards or conventions involving connectivity connectivity options that people are using, but it could remain largely fragmented for the foreseeable future because of the diversity of the applications and things. So, Johnny, let's have you weigh in. What are your thoughts on standards, interoperability, and ecosystem components?
Well, so that's fragmentation, I think. You know, I agree. Fragmentation will always be there because of different applications. Now, there are ways to fight as much as we can. One is definitely, you know, the modularity of the hardware design is important, but also modularity in the software. So one interesting point that you guys talked about was, you know, different interfaces, legacy interfaces. You know, how do you interface that up into the cloud and using the gateway? Now, one of the things that, you know, we do with our customers and through our partners is, you know, taking some of those legacy interfaces, you know, like OPC AUA or Modbus and so forth, but using an MQTT, you know, translate to MQTT and then using those standards to make it easier to pipe up to the cloud, you know, directly interfacing into AWS or directly facing into Azure Edge, things like that. So that's where I think how we could fight it. Now, that fragmentation within the applications will always be there, but there are tools we can use to help our customers make it easier to pipe up. In terms of, you know, industry standards, we try to stay as much as we can with those industry standards and not do anything too far outside of it. And that's one of the reasons why we do update the newer standards. We're using standards that's widely used. So like MQTT is a great example. It is a great way of translating things and easy for almost every cloud provider to understand. So it was used their ML on it, you know, in the cloud.
Okay, what about on the other side, the downstream side between sensors and gateways? Is there any kind of standardization going on there for various sensors delivering, you know, classes of information, or is that pretty much fragmented?
It's fragmented, but there are standards. For instance, in a factory environment with PLCs, most PLCs will talk OPC UA. So as long as we translate that to MQTT, it makes it easier to pipe up. Now, if you're talking about sensors like in the field, you know, outdoor sensors and things like that, that's where it gets tricky. That's when you have to have systems that are modular that you can bolt on all the different wireless connectivity. You know, things like Thread, the things like Zigbee, these are all standards, but these are things that you have to add to the system to make sure you communicate to it. LoRa is another great example. ETLE, these are all other things. And then, of course, Wi-Fi and so forth.
Okay, so there are some standardization out there. And you also mentioned environmental stuff, too. So I guess some of these platforms need to have hardened versions, or I assume some of these things sit on telephone poles or outside in an industrial park or something, maybe. And so does Does extended temperature range and moisture, humidity kinds of things figure into this too?
Oh, definitely. We have systems that, you know, on the wide range side, go from negative 40 degrees Celsius all the way to 70 degrees Celsius environmental. They're designed for the extreme edge. These are systems that are hardened, that are designed, you know, shock and vibe, rail standards, and they're really designed to take a beating. And they need to be, because these are the ones that you put out on the edge where there's not a person there, or you don't want to put a person there. And they become the brains out in the middle of nowhere. Now, these systems...
These
systems are really... You know, we have quite a few customers that do autonomous vehicles, for instance. These systems sit in the car in the hot trunk, yet they have to have extreme processing power to run an autonomous vehicle and do data gathering to basically create learning loops. So these systems, you know, they have to be designed for shock and vibe. They have to sit in that environment, and they have to do it all fanlessly and have compute. And we have systems like that that go from all the way from Atom class all the way to Xeon class.
Okay, great. I think we are now to topic three, IoT platform next steps. So we've talked about the state of the union, where things are. I think we're kind of transitioning or in between the make it work phase with some elements of adding the bells and whistles or the foundational components for productization. We talked about standardization and interoperability components where there are some spot things that can be used, but largely end-to-end, this is still a fragmented environment. So let's talk about next steps here. What are the key things needed in order to achieve the forecasts of, you know, some prognosticators are saying 20 billion IoT devices out deployed within the next 3 to 5 years. What industries do you see moving forward more quickly or less quickly, and for what kinds of use cases are they deploying IoT? And what kind of platform advances are needed to support those kinds of things and to support, you know, these projections that are projecting, you know, phenomenal growth over the next 3 to 5 years? Charlie.
Yeah. The good news is I do see that moving forward, things are actually improving. Although the market implementation will still be fragmented, as we discussed earlier, but industry leaders are actually coming out and starting down the road to simplify the process. For example, on the sensor implementation, we have seen Arduino and also Arm Pelion. It serves as a good example for innovative way to make proof of concept and also customization easy to achieve. They can do the proof of concept on the piece of hardware, integrate the different sensors, making sure it works. Then they can take the schematic and start doing their customization, ruggedize it, and put it into different market. Software-wise, we also have different partners that can help provide easy onboarding for the IoT system that helps solve cloud enablement mysteries. Cloud providers such as Azure from Microsoft and also AWS, they provide great set of tools. But trying to use them without any guidance, you're going to have a lot of fun. It's kind of like somebody said Millennium Falcon Lego kit in front of you, but they pull away the instruction and say, here you go, try to assemble that together. That's basically what it looks like right now. So in a sense, constructing an IoT system from ground up is a very difficult task if the customer don't know where to start. And company who can recognize the different talents on the market, bring them together, that holds the key to success. And there's also identify the right piece to bring them together is also equally important. So as far as what market I see can benefit from the new IoT era, in my opinion, is energy market, medical market, airline market, and food market. And the reason why I named these markets is because they all share two things in common: lots of overhead and the need to cut costs and minimize waste. So you might have the question, how come I don't think smart city is a good market to go after? The problem with smart city is it sounds really great, and it sounds almost like a utopia, which unfortunately does not exist. Private sector will always have a faster way and be able to adopt newer things faster than the government. And the biggest enemy for smart city right now, for smart city implementation, is unfortunately all the government regulations already in place. We have to navigate around these regulations in order to achieve the smart city that everybody talks about. And that will take actually quite a bit longer time than we originally think it would be. So, for example, food industry is a good one. Food processing plant within the food industry will always look for ways to cut costs, either cutting overhead or cutting waste. And could all the data that's collected from the all the sensors, all the inspection points be utilized to do something better? Can it be used to sense different seasons? And because raw material coming in at different time of the season might have different quality, and it might be quality from different vendors that provide the raw material may also have different qualities, and can there be a adjustment within the processing to either minimize the amount of the raw material used so they can save costs from the beginning, or to improve the production output? That's also another possibility. Okay, so the key platform advantage that we can continue to support the growth will actually be cloud providers, in my opinion. So we're familiar with how Windows evolved from an operating system standpoint and where it is now. So what I can see is the great cloud war is just getting started. There's a lot of usable tools available on cloud. It doesn't matter which cloud service provider that you look at, but not everybody are very familiar on how these tools are going to be put together and used. So what should happen is very much like what we see from the transformation, that we go from a text-based operating system into a graphic-based operating system. How to make those things available from the cloud feature, making them easier for everyone to access, will be the deciding factor on how fast the IoT can penetrate into different markets, as it will attract more companies to utilize the features and create unique and useful tools that suit their target market. And system integrator can also pull together these talents, both hardware and software, to create a solution that's easy for them to adapt for their target market. So at the end of the day, we see a lot of great improvement in the technology for the past 20 years. IoT will bring us another big surprise where many of us will look back and say, wow, I sure didn't see that coming. And hopefully some of the solutions that we can put together can help speed up that phase and bring new and interesting solutions to the market that allow customers to utilize those data properly and create a new industrial revolution.
Right. I think you make a lot of really good points there, especially the one where the people that can optimize costs or generate revenue fastest are the most highly motivated to move forward and pioneer. So I think the industries and the kinds of markets that you outlined there in terms of, you know, energy, medical, aerospace, airport, airplanes, that kind of stuff, I think you're probably right on the money there. Great. Johnny, what do you think about IoT platform next steps? What's needed to move the boat forward?
Well, I think there are four major points, right? The first one is really moving towards more application-specific edge computing. You know, working the cloud model, yes, the cloud will push us forward, but also focus to do as much as you can locally at the edge. You know, this basically brings that reliable computer from the cloud directly on site. And this way it gives you, you know, lower latency, faster reaction time, and availability of data even when your connectivity is lost. You know, second thing is, you know, more and more of these devices are going to be very application specific. It's going to do something specific and do or perform a task specifically. This way it's ready to go out of the box. You know, there isn't days of setup, it's literally hours of setup to be up and running. And then that reliability becomes paramount to ensure, you know, the data is there and it's continually there and it's updating you and allowing you to make smarter decisions. I mean, that's one area. The other one is, you know, the applications. You look at the applications of these things, you know, where they're going into and creating, application-specific edge compute. You know, things like smart factory, things like agriculture. And, you know, I look at smart city as an interesting one. Yes, you know, people talk about bureaucracy in a city, but this is where I think you have to get very creative in terms of smart city. Smart city has to happen because it does save costs, but it has to happen in a smart way. I mean, you're not going to rebuild an existing city, just like you're not going to rebuild an existing factory. You're not going to rip something out and start over again. So how do you do it cost effectively if you want to create a smart city? A good example is, you know, you look at a couple examples. One is traffic cameras. You know, it used to be cities would have to put in traffic cameras, have someone monitor it, do all that. But the rate of growth of cities and the number of cameras you will need, you can't really do it. So a lot of cities today, what they do is they license it directly from Google. Google could tell you traffic by all the Android users, the state of traffic. Another one is, you know, how do you know what roads you need to repair, things like that. You know, we've worked with customers that do something a little different. They actually retrofitted garbage trucks throughout the city to have cameras. And using vision and having these garbage trucks, when they drive around, automatically using vision technology, you could actually spot where the potholes are, where the graffiti is at, what lights are broken, things that need to be fixed and report back to maintenance. These are ways to do it smarter, more cost-effectively, and cities are implementing these to make it more easier to make a city smarter without ripping out all the old infrastructure. Lastly, a key to really this growth is the simplicity of interface, you know, and also interfacing to legacy devices. Retrofit is still the largest market that we have to address. These markets are everything from existing factories, because just like the smart city, they're not going to rip out a, you know, couple million dollar factory line to put in a new line and to update that line every couple of years just because the analytics or the data required changes. So being able to interface into legacy technology and being able to pull that data out and put it in a place for analytics and being able to update that through module design is one of the keys. And then using that off-the-shelf flexibility will continue to play as a big part of the key in making it successful. Last thing is, I think long-term cost of ownership has to be considered. These devices, you really want to have them go in and stay there for 2-3 years without ever having to worry about it, because these deployments are large. You know, in a factory, you might have, you know, 10, 20, 100. Up to a few thousand gateways. Some are larger deployments are in the thousands of gateways. And having that reliability is key to make these last a long time. And having that flexibility of being able to update, upgrade to the latest, what you need in terms of data.
Okay. I had a follow-up for you, and I also had a follow-up for Charlie. So let's start with a follow-up for Charlie. You mentioned expertise and bringing in the right people and systems integrators. I was curious to get your opinion on where do you think the expertise is headed? So do you think the customers will become more sophisticated and start to have IT and OT resources that understand IoT and can implement it? Do you think vendors like Advantech and OnLogic and the cloud providers are going to start offering new services, kind of build up core competencies to support their core product lines and provide that systems integration function? Or do you think we'll end up with specialized IoT systems integrator organizations that kind of jump in and take the components and do this for the customer?
For the time being, I believe a company like Advantech, a company like OnLogic, will be able to pull together the talents needed in order to make the IoT system happening. So we have a list of different software companies that can do cloud integration. We have a list of companies that can do hardware, data analytic, data like a preventive and predictive maintenance softwares. And then we also have companies that can help us integrate our hardware sensor node and create a custom hardware so it can be implemented into the IoT network creation. So just depending on the depth and the breadth of the partners that we can pull together can help moving our customer into the next step. Most of the customer that comes to companies like Advantech or Onlogic probably are having a good idea of what they want, but not sure where to locate these talents, and that's where we're coming in to help them.
All right. Okay, that makes sense. Now, Johnny, you talked about an important aspect in terms of the legacy evolution, like there are a lot of roadblocks, as Charlie mentioned, in terms of getting to the smart city and things like that, but you mentioned some pretty innovative ways where if someone puts some thought into it, they can figure out ways to use the existing infrastructure to do new and interesting things by strategically locating sensors or using connections to move this data back to the gateways. How do you think that will evolve? Right now it sounds like companies like OnLogic and Advantech are providing the innovations, but do you think is that going to continue, or are these organizations going to become more adept at figuring out how to do this more cost effectively, or do you think there will be IoT consultants that come in and say, okay, well, we'll solve your problem for you?
Well, I think definitely that train of thought of being working smarter, not harder, will always be there. And they're going to come to us to ask those questions, is because we have to look at everything holistically. And you also have to look at how much legacy there are. I mean, some of these factories that we've worked with, they're still working with 40-year-old equipment because it's not broken. And those capital expenditures are there already. So they will continue to use that. So I don't see that market going away anytime soon. It's because manufacturing equipment is a great example. They're designed to last 20 years. And these are things you will not change. Another great example is train cars. Now, everyone would love to have a smart train car. But if it's not broken, you're not going to change it out. So how do you retrofit for those markets? That is still the biggest market. I think will continue to be the biggest market for the foreseeable future.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Okay. We are now to the Q&A. We have some questions in, but I want to remind the audience this is your opportunity to take advantage of the expertise we have here. I think we talked a lot about a lot of good information with respect to IoT platforms, where it is, how the standards and interoperability and ecosystems are laying out and kind of where it's headed. So asking about your specific use case or industry or what have you, it's a good time to get some information and advice here. Charlie, let's start with this question. They heard you mention Advantech offers device monitoring software. So what's so special about that? Why do we need it, and why should the customer use it?
Yeah, the software tool that we offer is actually a cloud-based tool, and we call it the WisePass device on. So it's a simple onboarding solution for our customer to connect our hardware, and it offers the remote monitoring, remote management, and also over-the-air updating capability. So you can actually use that to monitor the status of the Advantech hardware system within the network, and be able to do management or change, like turn on and off the backlight, turn on and off the touch screen, lock the keyboard, and also do over-the-air update for BIOS, firmwares, and software as well. So it's a very useful tool for our customer to work with.
Okay. Very good. Johnny, How big of a role does managing power usage play in deploying IoT platforms?
Oh, it definitely plays a big role because this is all part of that long-term cost of ownership. So you want to have enough power in the system to run what you need and have enough overhead for future growth. But at the same time, you don't want to put something, you know, that takes 100 watts or more at the very edge. Because some of these deployments, like I said, are large deployments and adds up very quickly. So it's all about working smarter with the customer in terms of deployments, where the processing power has to happen, and how to centralize all that processing power, how to bring all the data back together into a central gateway. We have quite a few customers that what they do is they have multiple low-power gateways, pulling the data, putting it into a higher-power gateway, processing the combined data for sending it out. These are all things that we work with customers on a daily basis on their system architecture and how does it fit and how do we manage that power usage.
Right. I guess it all boils down to, is it cost effective to operate enough for the value that it's returning? So that's a big, and power is a big ongoing portion of that. Charlie, from your perspective, and maybe we can get Charlie and Johnny to follow up on this. So from your perspective, what are the focused verticals that you feel would have the best potential for mass adoption of IoT over the next, you know, 1 to 2 years? So what if you were going to place your bet on something that was going to happen with dramatic scaling over the next couple of years, what market would it be?
From my perspective, I will put the bet on manufacturing, such as automotive, such as airline. So they have a good reason for wanting to do that, because if there's anything wrong with their equipment and they have to shut down the plant for fixing the problem, it costs them a lot of money. Same goes with the food industry, especially food processing plant. Not only if shutdown is costing them money, if there are ways to make output more efficient or cost more raw material becomes an issue, those are things that can help them save money. So bottom line is money is still driving, is still the driving force. Whatever can save the most money, follow the money, that's where they are going to go first.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Johnny, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think two areas. Definitely I agree with manufacturing and smart factories and saving costs from there, and also smart warehousing. Another big area where I think the implementation will happen faster because of money is also transportation. Transportation, I think, in the next few years, next 5 to 10 years, will take a dramatic change. Imagine one day autonomous vehicles become so standard in a way that you basically never need to own a car. If you think about it, this is why, if you look at the Uber services or Lyft, that's where they're focused on autonomous. You take out the driver, and now you feel safer in the car. So imagine in the future, you might not ever need a car. You use it as a service, just like what SaaS is. If it's a service that you only use, pay for what you use. And that's kind of where we're going with transportation.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard speculation like that, and crazy thoughts are always like the things that become reality, right? I've heard where, GM and Toyota and Chrysler and the car manufacturers will also just become service providers, not like product producers. So that would probably be a pretty good safe bet as well. We do have 5 minutes left, so audience, I want to remind you, you can continue to ask questions. We'll continue to kind of scroll down through here. Charlie, given the complexity and how fragmented you see the market is, do you see your company focus on integration downward toward the sensors or upward towards the cloud?
From our perspective, working with our partner and have integration upward toward the cloud would probably be the more common configuration moving forward these days, because a lot of customers would like to include some level of cloud analytic capability, be it utilizing public cloud provider like Azure or AWS or Google, or actually creating their own private cloud solution, but they do want to have the capability of accessing their data and be able to manage their data everywhere. As far as downward toward the sensor, Advantech does offer some of the solution, but the market, from the market standpoint, that is actually pretty saturated with different solutions, and they can do a lot of different things with different communication protocol. So that's my perspective.
Okay. Let's see here. Johnny, blockchain, how do you see blockchain being integrated into IoT? That's a big industrial initiative as well.
I see it more from a security standpoint. People using it as an add-on for security, more so than anything else.
Okay. Let's see here. Here's a really good question. So, Charlie, outside of deploying more processing to edge devices, what do you see, how do you see minimizing cloud expenditures going forward as well? Are you seeing emerging standards for peer-to-peer communications between the edge and enterprise, or any other approaches that might, you know, minimize the number of bytes into and out of the cloud?
Okay, since the question is asking, other than increasing more processing to the edge devices, truly depending on which part of the edge are we looking at. We have gateway is considered the part of the edge, and also another way is to increase the power of the MCUs that's on the sensor node. That can also help to reduce the overall size needed to upload to the upload the data to the cloud. Now, as far as the peer-to-peer communication between edge, that can certainly happen, but that requires a different network to be created. And unfortunately, at this point of time, I do not really have much of experience in that part. Perhaps maybe Johnny has some insight for us as well.
Sure. Yeah, Johnny, what are your thoughts there? Do you think peer-to-peer might become a way to do it? I know there are data buses out there that you can use to publish subscribe models, that kind of thing. Maybe that becomes popular?
Peer-to-peer will definitely depend on the application. Mm-hmm. So some applications you must have peer-to-peer. A great example is like what we just talked about, autonomous vehicles. Autonomous vehicles, when they go live, they have to have a standard or a protocol so the cars can talk to each other and not through the central cloud. It's for speed of processing. It's for safety. They have to talk to the lights. They have to talk to each other. This type of mesh network has to happen. And you already start to see it. There are standards bodies coming together, put together by all the major automotive companies as well as some of the compute companies. And the cloud providers to create those standards. So I see it as it must happen for peer-to-peer.
All right. Okay. Great. Unfortunately, we have got to the end of today's webcast. I want to thank Charlie and Johnny for being with us today and sharing your insights on IoT platforms evolution. I want to thank Advantech, OnLogic, and Contron for sponsoring today's event. And thank you, the audience, for attending today. You contributed excellent questions there. This webcast is copyrighted and may not be reproduced or used without the express written permission from Open Systems Media. Thanks for attending. Have a great day.